All right. Welcome, everyone, to yet another episode of the Delta Flyers. This week, we have the beloved, incomparable, and charismatic Jonathan Frakes joining us.
Wow. Those are nice. You are very nice. Charismatic.
Do you accept those adjectives, sir?
Gratefully.
Okay.
Humbly.
Incomparable. That's a big one.
Incomparable. Let's see charismatic.
What three of you got for Robbie?
Yeah, what are mine?
Oh, Robbie. Oh,
gassy.
My gosh. Yeah.
Gassy. Talks too much.
Needs
that's
to urinate.
Not an adjective.
Yeah, that's not an adjective either. Oh, my goodness.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Okay, so right off the bat, we were just talking about your background, where you were raised, Pennsylvania. You're a Pennsylvania guy.
Born and bred.
Yep. Born in one town. Do I pronounce this correct? Belfont? Is that
beautiful?
I got it right. I'm so happy. Nice. I'm sure people say Belafonte, like Harry Belafonte.
Where's Belfont?
Belfont is the county seat of Center County, Pennsylvania. Center County, Pennsylvania is a home of State College, which is where Penn State is.
I love State College. What a great town.
Yeah. When I was born, my dad was teaching at Penn State. Okay. And at that point, it is 1952, there was no hospital to deliver babies in State College. But
what? That's crazy.
There was in Belfont. So, and also, there was no liquor sale or liquor store in State College. So I was born, Jonathan Scott Frakes, in the hospital, in the Center County Hospital in Belfont, Pennsylvania. And an inordinate amount of people from the English department, of which my father was a member, came to visit my mom in the hospital because it was right next to the liquor store. Right.
That's amazing. Yeah, well, you just had a baby. You got to toast that moment. You got to
toast that
celebrate.
Moment.
Yes.
And one of them, I wish I knew, it might have been Leonard Rubinstein, one of the friends of the family, gave my mom a note and said, "What hath God wrought, Jonathan Scott?"
Wow.
What a cool note.
Elegant sort of sonnet for your birth. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
There's a little deep dive into Belfont, Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Belfont. Are there any stories when you were born? Are there any stories your parents told you? So the one about the friends coming and toasting, anything? Like,
I'm not sure they drank in the hospital, but they did come to they didn't come to see her or me. They came because the liquor store happened to be in Belfont.
Like my parents always told me the story when I was born. I was born in Raleigh, North Carolina at Rex Hospital. And my father said he came and I was born at 5:30 in the evening. And he said, you know, everything was done. I went back to get the car to go home because your mom was staying over for a night. And I found $100 bill on the sidewalk. And he said, I thought, you know, Robbie was just born. I find $100 bill. This is a good sign. So they would always tell that story about something. Was there any story that your parents told about when you were born or when you were a baby, anything like that you can remember?
No, I gave you the one memento.
The one,
I had.
The toast in the liquor store.
I will say this though, Robbie, because they found the $100 bill, your name should have been Benjamin for Benjamin Franklin. That's the name they should have given you for sure. Jonathan,
when our son was born, our son is named Jameson Patrick Ivor Frakes. But when our son was born, Jeannie and I had decided we'd name him Benjamin Frakes.
Oh.
And in a panic at Cedars, she wisely said, Whoa, he can't be Benji. He can't be Ben Franks, which everybody called me by name.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So we pulled Benjamin. Hmm. I had to go to the administrative department at Cedars, took Benjamin off the birth certificate, and put Jameson on.
Wow.
There's something you probably didn't know.
I did not know that. See there?
No.
That's why you come. to the
Delta Flyers.
To the Delta Flyers. That's the kind of shit you get here.
That's right. It's good shit. This is good shit.
I must say, I did have an enjoyable time interacting with your son on the cruise that we were on recently. Because
he's a good
last,
boy.
And his lovely wife, or was
Izzy,
that girlfriend?
Fiance.
Yeah,
Izzy.
Fiance.
Again, he's a riot.
It was so fun talking to them, hanging out, and also the prior time that I had seen your son was when Jeannie was shooting the TV movie and he was an infant.
Set
that I came to visit Jeannie. Do you remember this?
Yes.
We were filming in California.
It was like up in La Cañada somewhere.
Yes.
On location. Yeah.
Yes. I drove there to visit you guys. Oh. I don't know if you were on set at the time, but I do remember going there and watching for a little bit. And it was strange that I was.
And
I don't
Jameson was an infant. He was like three years old.
No, he was a baby because she was still nursing.
That's what I'm saying. He was like infant, and he was on set with her because she was still nursing him. Correct. Yeah. So then flash forward, the next time I see him, he has a fiance. So I'm thinking,
so we're old.
Isn't that amazing? This moment reminds me again of this sci-fi franchise that we're all a part of.
Yes.
Is like no other job I've had in my life because
me
I
too.
Get to watch so people's different. Families grow. I get to see it's incredible. Yeah. It's incredible. I love that.
I agree.
Very cool.
I agree. So when you were born in Bellefonte, but at the time you guys were living in Bethlehem or
No. My dad was teaching at Penn State.
Right.
And then he got a job at RPI, which is in Troy, New York, where I went when we were, I guess maybe kindergarten, maybe up to kindergarten. Then we moved. He went to Lehigh, which is in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
Got it.
Where I lived until I was 17.
He left home.
At 17, I went to Penn State.
State College. Back to State College.
Because I wanted to take a year off. I really wanted a gap year. I really believed in it. My father, who was an academic, thought it was a great idea because he had seen so many burnouts come into his freshman English courses. And so he was all about it. And then my mom, Doris Frakes, who you know from the phone.
I love Doris.
I thought about that this morning when I knew it was going to be with you, that she loved that. I included Robbie in one of my calls to my mom, who I used to call.
We were in the car and you were on the phone. You put her on speakerphone.
I'm so
and
jealous.
Every time after that, I would ask about
Doris and she about him because she felt like she had met him.
I am so jealous. Oh my God.
So my mom freaks out the last minute and says, Jonathan has got to go. Jim, you got to do something to get him, because I hadn't applied to college. I was so happy.
You were going to take a gap year.
So he pulled some kind of string that I could in fact go to Penn State because I had to write SATs. I was never going to get into Princeton or any of the other, but I could go to Penn State and I could go to main campus, which was the big deal about Penn State. You didn't want to end up in Yohovitzville, but you had to start in the summer. So I started college a week after I got to high school.
Oh my God. So that's the opposite of a gap year.
Exactly. My point exactly.
What the heck?
So the following summer, I took off and I hitchhiked across the country with David Vogt. And that was it was just at the end of when it was cool, 1970, 71.
Oh my
God. That was still cool.
Yeah, but it was dangerous. We got arrested in Toma, Wisconsin for trespassing. Hitchhiking on the freeway, that Route 90, I think that is.
Oh my God.
And the cops took us in and put us in this, in the slammer and gave us dinner. This was David Vogt and I.
How was the dinner? What did you eat?
Yeah. It was canned ham. It was nice.
Okay.
And then in the morning, they woke us up and they gave us breakfast. And then they drove us back to the same place they had picked us up for hitchhiking. They said,
Let you go?
So they must have felt like, oh, these could be my boys. You know what I mean?
Yeah. When you turn out to be nice guys, they're like, maybe we shouldn't have picked them up.
Well,
you've been in jail. Have you been in jail any other time?
No, that's as good. Have you been in jail?
No. You've been in jail.
Yeah.
I am so jealous.
What a great question. Have you been in jail any other time?
You're the first guest of ours we have discovered has spent a night in jail.
Have you asked them all?
No, but now it's going to be a regular question.
That should be our first question to every guest. Have you been in jail? And there you go. Jonathan, can I ask you very quickly before you get into this? your mother's maiden name.
Yingling.
There's a beer by of the same name, and I've always
different
wondered.
Different spelling. If only it had been the beer family. I'd be rich.
Oh, yes. You would be the crown prince. But what
you, you wouldn't have had to hitchhike. That's for sure.
You would have had a limo follow you while walking.
No, the hitchhiking was really a choice. You remember the 70s. Yes. Or maybe you don't.
I remember, speaking of hitchhiking, I remember I was probably, when was Woodstock? What year was it?
68,
I think. So I was 4 years old. I have a vague, blurry memory. My whole life I've had this memory. I visited my great-grandmother in Chadburn, North Carolina, little farm town. She had six kids. She had a lot of kids. And I remember I was out playing in her front yard of her little farmhouse. And this Volkswagen pulls in with a bunch of hippies, I would call them, in my memory. My second cousin or whatever, her youngest son had gone to Woodstock and he was getting dropped off on the way back. And I remember this, and I knew in that moment, I'm 4 or 5 years old.
You knew how cool it was.
I knew it was cool. I knew that was cool. Like they were all hippies coming back from Woodstock.
Yeah. I was in high school. My mom wouldn't let me go.
Yeah, she stopped you.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
But I did get to go see the Beatles.
Ooh, did you lucky really? You.
Wow.
On a bus from Bethlehem to Philly to Veterans Stadium. And that was spectacular. Except you couldn't hear anything because they were all...
Screaming.
Everybody screamed. Couldn't hear
them. Oh, my God.
But I saw them and it was great.
You saw them at the old Vet Stadium?
Yeah.
I sang the national anthem at the old Vet Stadium. So I have performed
Name dropper. Like the Beatles.
Like the Beatles... I have sung at the old Vet Stadium. Yes.
I'm still trying to finish my thought. Is the cultural background of the name Yingling?
My mother is Pennsylvania Dutch.
Yeah, it's a Dutch name.
I think it strangely is. I mean, it's you were hoping that we had an Asian connection. Is that where you
were
going?
Yes, that's what I was thinking. I saw that and I thought, he's part Asian. This is amazing. He's my cousin.
Cousins.
I was so excited. And then I realized, wait a minute. No, there must be some European country.
That sounds
that
like it
that
could
name.
Be a Dutch is sounding. Dutch? That sounds Pennsylvania Dutch.
Yeah, and it is.
It is. No. Oh my God.
Yingling.
Doris.
Okay. All right.
Doris. So, love Doris.
Oh, me too.
Let's talk about your formative years. When you were young, when did you do school plays right off the bat? Did you play your instrument right off the bat? When did that happen? How did that begin?
The trombone started. I went to what was it called? Jefferson Elementary School, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. And I don't know if you guys went to public school. There was a situation where the class, this is, I think, in fourth grade, they're given like two clarinets and two trumpets and two saxophones, right?
Yeah.
So the instruments are laid out. And then you stand up and Mrs. Hirschberg, who I adored, who was my fourth grade teacher, said, "Brakes, you have long arms, you get the trombone."
That was it.
That's how it started.
That's how the trombone started. But I stayed with it and I got good at it. And then I was in a marching band in junior high school. And then, you may not know this, Robbie.
Yes.
I was in the Liberty High School Hurricane Grenadier Marching Band featuring Jeannie Pesek, Mike Heller, Pipe Major. And we won the Festival of States in Florida as the best marching band in the United States of America, 1970.
Name dropper.
I did not know that.
The Hurricane Grenadier Marching Band. So we had bearskin hats and marching.
Oh,
like
my. I love a marching band.
We played Rule Britannia.
Oh, I do. I honestly do. I love a marching band.
Of course. I spent years in a marching band. And then I played on the show because Morris Hurley, who you probably didn't have. He was a
director.
He was an EP writer. From
what's that show you did? That sci-fi show?
No, it wasn't from that show. He was a writer from the show that took place in Miami with the two.
The guys that were vice cops in Miami.
Right. There we go. Your teacher said, you have long arms, play the trombone. But exactly. When you saw those instruments, did your eye gravitate towards another instrument that was there?
No, not the clarinet, Garrett.
I wasn't going there. Jesus. I wasn't going, but now that you brought that up, I often use you as an example. When I talk about the instruments, I say, they made me play the clarinet, which I have no clue how to play the clarinet. Why on earth didn't they go to somebody who already knew how to play an instrument? Similar to the show that Frakes was on. He already played the trombone, and so they had him play it on the show. He knows how to play it. They should have had Tim Russ play the logical lute is what they should have had. But, you know.
Here's my takeaway from Jonathan's story.
Yes.
When I was in fourth grade, we lived in Norristown, Pennsylvania.
Oh, outside of Philly.
Outside of Philly. And they laid out the instruments, and one of them was a little drum pad.
And that was you?
That was me. I came home. I came home to Norristown.
Slam paradiddle diddle.
I would bang on that little, it was a, do you know the drum pad I'm talking about?
Of course I do. I can see it.
10, 12 inches. It didn't make much sound at all. But I always considered myself a drummer from that fourth grade year of the drum pad.
Wow.
Even though I never.
You have a drummer vibe.
Right?
Yeah,
I've sort of taken on the drummer vibe.
It's kind of sexy. I don't really care, but I'm really good. That's your vibe.
I could pull that off.
Definitely.
I will say I have owned that I was a drummer, even though I spent fourth grade on a little pad and never went beyond that. I've internalized the drummer experience for myself in Pennsylvania. Is my point with you?
They must have the same laws. We're going to give these kids 12 instruments. You break them up the way you want.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
What else?
I'm just going to say, if you two were not heterosexual, you would make a lovely couple, the both of you. No. I'm just going to say.
I think we would.
Because you're both, you're the dragon. So that's very compatible. And me being monkey, I'm also compatible with you. But you two understand each other very well. You're the same person, basically.
Well, we do love each other.
I know you two agree.
Yeah, we agree. I have one more chapter of the trombone story.
Oh, please.
Yes. Oh, I can't wait.
When I lived on Lookout Mountain, I lived in what I was told was Jimi Hendrix's old house.
Oh, wow.
Urban myth or true?
Yeah. For everyone listening.
Internalize it, just like my drum pad. Own it. You lived in Jimi Hendrix's house. I love it.
For everyone listening, Lookout Mountain is in Hollywood Hills in Los Angeles. Famous area.
Mm-hmm. And I lived next door to Paul Fox, who became a good friend. Actually, in these days, back in the 80s, we would meet at the end of our day and pass a joint over the fence to each other. It was great.
I love that.
He was the producer of REM, Bjork, Jacob Dylan, and Phish.
Oh, and Phish too.
Oh, wow.
So the Phish guys used to rehearse in this room that was in the front of my house that I let his guys come and rehearse it. And the Phish were massive trekkers.
Really?
John Fishman, who has a house very close to mine in Maine now. Anyway, these guys were massive, massive trekkers. So they used to rehearse there in my little extra room. And on Lookout Mountain, as you guys know here, our mailbox was a cow that had been hit by about 400 cars. So it was a dented, you know how those some mailboxes have the large mouth pass?
Yeah.
This is the cow version of that with black and white spots.
Yes.
Okay.
So these guys got Paul and they introduced themselves to me, and I was kind of excited because Phish was just, they were just
Oh my God.
Take it over for Grateful Dead.
Yeah.
They said, do you want to play on our album?
I said, what?
I said, sure. They said, okay, Saturday we're going to be in the studio out in the valley somewhere. Come out at 10 o'clock. So I go out. I'm really excited that I got to play an official album.
Oh my God. Of course. Yeah.
Right. So they put me in the sound booth with the music stand and the charts, and I got my horn out. And first of all, it was like in three sharps or four sharps. So it was already, I could tell. And it was all the notes were way up over the scale. So it was that kind of music.
Very challenging. Yeah.
So my embouchure wasn't up to it. My technique wasn't up to it. And it broke my heart. But so we started. I went, and it was clearly wrong. I said, let's try it one more time. And this went on for, maybe 20 minutes of, and then it couldn't be more clear that they needed a real trombone player.
For this, man.
It's fine. It's got a good, happy ending.
Okay.
So we had lunch. They sent me home. I said, I'm so sorry. I disappointed you. They said, no, it's been great hanging out with you, this and that. And then ultimately they hired the trombone player from Tower of Power who crushed it.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
So then Paul Fox, may he rest in peace, gave me, I guess, months or years or a year later, maybe, a gold record of the Hoist album, which was the name of this record. And on side one, cut three or cut four, is this little 29-second cut called Riker's Mailbox, which was all those bad outtakes. So I'm on.
You're on the album.
Fish album that was a gold record. It's called Hoist.
Oh my God. I had no idea.
I'm going to go get that album. Oh my goodness. And
what is it called again, the track?
The track is called Riker's Mailbox.
Riker's Mailbox. The Cal Mailbox. Oh my God.
You know, what year was this? Would you say? Can you?
Yeah, 89.
Yeah.
Maybe. I feel like that's
so while they were rehearsing there, I was at UCLA and they performed at UCLA. Fish did many times. Oh, wow. So I'm thinking that they were rehearsing in your house to perform at UCLA right before they came. Oh my goodness. Wow.
What's the guy's name from Smallville who also does this? Michael Rosenbaum.
Rosenbaum. Yes. Yeah.
He does this and he insisted that I come to his house. I said, dude, why don't we just do it the Zoom way? He said, yeah. Breaks, come to my house. His house is directly across the street from the Jimi Hendrix house that I lived in.
No.
And he didn't know it.
Oh my God. Wow.
Was so the mailbox?
Was gone and the house had been rebuilt beautifully. But it was really emotional and weird. And I thought he had set me up. He had no idea.
Oh my God.
You guys are easy to share with.
Really?
Yeah.
We are.
We're love these stories. Jazz. I love digging into people's stories and the details matter. Yeah. Like the mailbox, all that detail is really great.
We have trombone. Now, what about acting? Did you do school plays at all? How did that come into play?
Around junior high school, I started to do plays. Famous play like Which Witch Is Which?
Love that. Oh, that's a tough one.
Just you saying, hey, I'm going to start, or did someone get you into this?
Well, I think I was persuaded. My father never discouraged me. My mother never discouraged me. Mm-hmm. I was one of those kids who wanted to be in everything. So I was in the band and I was in the chorus and I was on the debating club and I was in the theater club and I was on the track team and I was on the cross country team. I wanted to do everything. I couldn't play football. I was on the basketball team and I was so bad.
I was too. I was horrible.
They thought because I was tall, I'd be good. Yeah. I was so fucking bad at basketball. Yeah.
Can I ask what event in track and field, Jonathan?
I actually did the 100 to 220, the triple jump and the long jump.
Oh, wow.
Triple jump.
Yeah.
Wow.
And what was your favorite event? What was your favorite event?
Triple jump? Yeah. Absolutely.
I bet you were great in that because of your height.
39 feet.
Nice.
Wow.
Huh.
Wow.
There's something you don't talk about often.
No. You were an overachiever. I mean, I feel like you still are. I think you still you don't want to miss out on anything.
That's what it wasn't overachieving. It was I didn't want to sleep because I thought I was going to miss the party.
It was FOMO.
I had FOMO from an early age.
Wow.
And my mom, God bless her, back to Doris.
Yes.
You would take me from a track meet. I also played in the municipal band in addition to the high school band. So she'd pick me up at the track meet and I take off my sweaty tracksuit from Liberty High School and put on my brown sport coat for the municipal band concert at the band shell on the other side of Bethlehem.
Wow. Oh my God. School band and municipal band and athletics, everything.
Still not good enough to play with fish.
But you're on the gold record. That's incredible. So Doris drove you around. If you were didn't want to miss out, she drove you a lot.
She drove me a lot, and my father did not drive. So she drove him. He was an English professor without a driver's license.
Wow.
And your mom was Superwoman. All of those things for you and your father.
And your brother.
And you also said that you could not play football. Why is that? Because that's a big...
Because I was in the band.
You're in the band.
If you were not in the band, what position would you have liked to have played in football?
Good question. Very good question. Quarterback, probably. No, not quarterback.
Okay. No, I thought maybe tight end.
Tight end, yeah. Now I play tight end.
It's funny. I never played football. I played like.
But you're a big football fan, aren't you?
We're both huge football fans. I love watching the game.
The dogs.
I'm a big Georgia Bulldogs fan, and we've had a couple good years. So it's been a nice run. For 41 years before that, it was not a good run. but we've had a good couple years. I couldn't play football. It hurt.
You weren't allowed to, or you were not good?
Did you try?
Well, I was already doing theater by the time I got into like high school, and all the guys were playing football, all my friends, and I wanted to, but I was doing plays.
You never tried out, Robbie? You never seventh grade football, eighth
no,
grade?
No, I would go play like pickup football with them, and we'd tackle in the park. Like we'd play tackle football, and it hurt.
Wow.
And I remember thinking, A, I'm doing plays. I'd rather do plays than football. And B, it hurts a lot. And I'm just going to watch.
Did your focus on the theater in high school help you get into Juilliard?
I don't know. I didn't go to Juilliard for a couple of years. I didn't go to school. I went to work out of high school. And I didn't go to school for 2.5 years or something.
I didn't know that. And then you went to Juilliard.
Then I went back to school 2 years later because I was doing like dinner theater musicals and, you know, summer stock musicals in the chorus. And I wanted the big roles. And I thought, well, the way to get the big roles is have some piece of paper or something fancy that'll help me get the acting roles.
Did you ever sing on camera?
Have I ever sang on
camera?
Oh
my God, that's a great
question.
I don't think so.
I don't think I ever have.
That's crazy.
Do you sing at the conventions?
I have sung at the conventions. Yeah. Have you? Have you sung at the?
You know
me. Yeah, of course.
Well, I open with Vogue. I give him the mic. No.
Yes, you do.
You've seen my shtick.
Yeah.
It's so tired.
Bob Picardo forced me the last time I did a convention, he somehow tricked me into doing karaoke with him, doing some duets with him. I didn't know where we were going, and he's like, "Oh, come with me. I just gotta go do this thing." And suddenly I'm out there with him, you know, in front of all the people doing a couple of songs, pickup songs in the karaoke. Oh. But it was fun. It was really fun.
Was I
liquored up? I don't think so. Maybe. Yes, I think I was, actually. I think we had a nice Italian meal. I was going to go back to your mom driving you around, though.
My mom
drove me a lot in the Rambler. Yeah, I was in the Toyota Celica.
Oh,
and then it was a Plymouth Belvedere, which was the first car that I got, which was a four-door that I got to take to college in my senior year.
But those are great memories.
The Rambler had push button.
Rambler was great.
Your mom was in a Toyota Celica, Robbie? Is that what you said?
Yeah, it was a Celica hatchback. So it was like a station wagon. No, it was a Datsun. I thought it was a Celica. It was a Datsun.
For those people who are watching.
Was the name before Nissan.
Before there was Nissan, it was Datsun.
I forgot about
that. It was called Datsun.
Some people don't know
that.
She had a
Datsun station wagon. I forget what it was called.
Yeah.
It, I don't know.
My first car was a Toyota Celica Supra, actually. The sports, sporty one. Yeah.
I just have great memories, Jonathan, of my mother driving me to all, because I was kind of like you. I was involved in school clubs, and then I'd go to rehearsals and this and that. And I was so young, I couldn't drive myself.
Yeah, me too. I've
great memories of spending time with my mom.
I appreciated it so much. And she obviously loved doing it, or she wouldn't have done it.
Yeah.
Why did your dad not want to drive, or he couldn't drive because
I think he had some trauma. I know he had some trauma sometime in his youth.
Okay.
That he was in a truck at a farm or something that rolled over, and he, or maybe something in the war, something about driving. He did not, he'd walk to Lehigh. He'd walk across the bridge across the Lehigh River.
Wow.
God. Or other faculty members would pick him up. He was very diabetic, so the walking was great for him because he refused to stop drinking. So he thought if he walked, he could have a martini. That was his theory.
Was your father in the war? You mentioned the war. Did he?
He was in the WW2 against his better judgment, and he refused to carry a gun, so he became a radio man.
Oh, wow.
And he famously, according to him, ate camel's brains and smoked hash in North Africa. Those are the two parts of the war that I remember hearing about.
Wow.
So he was in the North African campaign? That's where he was?
He was in the Coast Guard.
Oh.
No, that's not really being in the war, I guess. So he was stationed at, what's the name of the rock?
Gibraltar?
He was stationed by Gibraltar as a rule.
Wow. Oh,
smoking hash and eating camel's brains.
Yeah.
Those stories are incredible.
They are.
My grandfather was, he was in the Army Air Corps before there was an Air Force. He was in the Army Air Corps. And he was stationed
before there was a Space Force.
Before there was a Space Force, yeah. He was over in, he was an airplane mechanic in Guam. So he was in the Pacific Theater. And I had his baseball glove that he played the baseball on Guam during World War II. And somewhere in my life, it has disappeared and it breaks my heart. Because that glove, it was useless. It was so kind of dried out and rotted and... But it was his baseball, and it was tiny. It was tiny. He was a smaller man. But I loved hearing my grandfather's stories from.
He must have played second base.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably. Are you following the playoffs? When does this air, by the way?
This Sunday night it goes up. This one.
Oh, it does. This one? That's right.
Yeah. So we're right in the middle of the baseball playoffs, which are very exciting. Yes.
Phillies doing great. They beat my Atlanta Braves.
Yeah. Well, they were the first time I saw a baseball game was at Connie Mack Stadium in Philadelphia because I was in Bethlehem.
Mm-hmm.
But then I came out here. First of all, I was a Yankee fan because I lived in New York. And as a fact, we were rehearsing a play at Soho Rep on this date in 1977 when Reggie had hit the three home runs. And the Steve Zuckerman, who was a director, was even listening to the game while he was supposed to be directing. But at some point it became clear that, and there were a couple other baseball fans in the play, we stopped rehearsal and we went to, I think, the Spring Street Bar and watched the end of the game instead of rehearsing because of this, because that was the night that he had the three home runs.
Wow.
God, the memories just come flying back.
Isn't it crazy?
What other sports teams do you follow or are you fan of?
Well, I was a Phillies fan, then I became a Yankee fan. We'd love to go to the stadium on the subway.
Yeah.
And then when we moved to Maine, they don't let you into Maine unless you sign a thing that says you'll be a Red Sox fan.
Yes, it's a rule. It's a law.
So that was, I was given a Jason Veritek baseball that I was also told that I had to love Tom Brady. So I struggled with that the whole time. And then when I got killed off in the soap, I went to LA.
Yeah.
And it was just when Fernando Mani was starting in 78 or 79, I think that was.
Yeah,
and it was so exciting out here for baseball then.
Oh, and baseball in the late 70s and the 80s. Yeah.
Yeah, Steve Garvey and that whole, you know, Reggie Smith. That was a great team. So, and this is my sport. I don't know why.
I know that is your sport. You love baseball. Did you ever, so Michael Piller was a huge baseball fan.
Yes.
Did you ever go to games with Michael?
No, I didn't, but I adored Michael Piller.
Yeah, he loved baseball.
I did go to the White House with Michael Piller.
Did you really?
Talk about that.
Yeah, this is safe to talk about. We were invited to the White House during the, the Carter years or was it?
Carter years, my goodness.
No, it wouldn't have been. No, it would have been.
The Bush the first?
Maybe the Bush the first. Whoever invited us we were invited. We went to a party at the White House, and then we were all stayed at the Watergate Hotel.
Oh, wow.
So after the event with Buzz Aldrin and others, we were all in the lounge.
Yeah.
The actors and Pillar and Rick, and Pillar sat at the piano. And none of us, or at least I didn't, know he played. And
I didn't
he
either.
Played beautifully.
Oh, oh my. Wow.
I had no idea.
We all sort of feathered in, and Pillar took his baseball cap off. I think we were dressed. I don't think he had a hat on, but he played beautifully for about 20 minutes. And it was, wow. You know, standards and some, you know, light classical. And it was,
wow.
It was mesmerizing because it was such a, you know, when somebody does something that they do that well that you knew nothing about,
yeah.
It's kind of a treat.
Wow.
Wow. That's insane.
Very cool.
Yeah. What year was that again? That was, sorry, the 19. I'm just trying to.
That probably would have been the late 80s or something, or
yeah.
The 90s.
Yeah, late 80s or late 90s. Okay. Yeah.
Was that Clinton or Bush?
So that was Bush the first, was 88 to 92.
Yeah, that's who it was.
Probably in that zone, maybe. I just love when, you know, again, with our sci-fi family.
Oh, the things that we're invited to do?
The things we're invited to do, and then the things we discover about the people that, you know, when we're punching the clock and making these episodes, you know, you're kind of focused on that.
Right.
But when you end up in the lobby of a hotel,
right,
and somebody starts playing piano and you're like, what? Who are you?
Yeah.
I love those moments.
I do too. I'm crazy about those moments.
Was there someone that, obviously somebody influenced you or somebody was a mentor in your high school years that made you go to your college and get your BFA?
Now,
so
let me tell you that. I went to Penn State, as you know, a week after I got out of high school, and I wanted to be a psychiatrist.
Oh,
I may have told you this before. I was convinced that I would be a good psychiatrist. I don't know why. And I would have been.
Yeah, you would have been.
So I signed up to be a, you know, psych major.
Yeah.
But while I was there, I saw that you could go to see the professional, I think it was called the American Theater Company. Penn State had a professional company mm-hmm. that came in for the summer. You could sign, if you signed up to Usher, you could see the plays for free.
Yeah.
So I went to the theater building, I signed up to Usher, and down the hall comes one of my mentors, who turned out to be one of my mentors, Richard Edelman, who was the director, one of the directors. The company was filled with a lot of actors from New York and from Actors Theater Louisville and from the Guthrie and from the Arena Stage in Washington.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Max Wright was there and Stanley Anderson. There's some people that, you know, there were a lot of wonderful actors there. And he said, oh, you're a tall guy. Would you mind, or would you like to be in this play? And all you got to do is sit on the stage and play the drums a little bit. And I said, I'd be thrilled. So he invited me to rehearsal. And it was a play called Indians by Arthur Coppett. You know who Arthur Coppett is, right?
Yes. It's an anti-war kind of...
Exactly. And it has to do with the Wild West show. And it was sort of anti... You know, it was very anti-racist. So I was rehearsing this play. And I was around these people, this acting company that had been... Also, Happy Valley, where Penn State is in the summer, is breathtaking and wonderful. Mm. So rehearsal was like 10 in the morning, and maybe they rehearsed till 3. And then then they take a break. Then they go back to the theater for a half hour at 7 or 7:30. They do whatever play that was up. So they're out of the theater by 10. They're in the bar by 10:15.
What a life.
That's exactly what I said.
What a life.
I say, wait, is this a real thing?
People do this?
That's what I said, exactly what I said.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
So I changed majors and left Penn State with the single most useless degree anyone could have. I have a BFA in theater arts with a focus in acting.
Oh, yes. Very. Yeah. There's nobody that's going to care if you have that degree, but it's a fun degree to get. You have a lot of fun along the way, but it's useless.
On the next, next episode, we'll talk about college.
Yes, we will.
There we go.
And then after that, to Harvard.
I never went to Harvard.
So that's bullshit. That's bullcrap.
I worked at a theater called
the American Repertory Theater.
In Cambridge.
ART was up there.
Yeah, this was Harvard. Didn't even have a theater department when I worked there.
Well,
I don't think they do now. I don't think
I did Harvard three. Yeah, they did. They got the guy who came over from Yale and took over the theater department.
Oh, they do. Okay.
Yeah, I was just going to say your Wikipedia does say master's degree from Harvard, so that could be removed for sure.
I, of course, haven't removed it, but it's
why would you?
I never went to Harvard. The theater that I worked there, I was with Christopher Reeve and Margot Martindale.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. Margot Martindale.
You know what? I totally forgot. Now I remembered. Jonathan, when you were at that event that had Buzz Aldrin, did you guys talk to Buzz?
I don't remember.
Okay.
I've talked to Buzz.
Yeah.
I've spent some time with him.
Did you get a buzz with Buzz?
Yeah, maybe.
To complete the Harvard Live. It was called the Loeb Drama Center. Right, which I guess became it was the theater department after it became the theater major, but then it was a place where shows came in from out of town, and in the summer they had a professional company. That's how I got my agent. I went to the Loeb Drama Center. People came in from New York to see it, and I went back to the Loeb Drama Center for a second season, and I've been very lucky.
Yeah,
you have not missed out on anything. I'm going to say it's your efforts have been a success. Jonathan,
you've really helped me continue to get away from the show that we're avoiding talking about.
Yes.
Who has helped me the most?
Who?
You.
Aww.
Me?
You have single-handedly given me more non-sci-fi jobs continuously. And if you deserve not only kudos, but hugs and kisses, and I'll never stop being grateful.
You were always a gift. Every show that I did, I tried to get you in there, and sometimes you weren't available, which you were having good years. And
hard to believe.
but it's always been, every time we've been able to work together, it's been such a highlight. And you bring so much creativity and passion and energy. The crew feels it. The actors feel it. It's a highlight every time. Honestly, it really is. And my biggest takeaway here is that you and I both got driven around by our moms a lot.
Yes.
And I love that.
Yes.
I have two takeaways. Takeaway number one, that he is truly the beloved, incomparable, and charismatic Jonathan Frakes. Yes. Takeaway number two is that we're so lucky to have had him on the Delta Flyers. Thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure. Yeah. More than you know. You guys are
so easy. Jonathan. And for our Patreon subscribers, stick around. We've got some questions, Admiral questions, Jonathan's going to answer. And for everybody else, we'll see you next week.